behind us right now is Emily Manzo playing a piano piece by the guitarist Mary Halverson. It's called Fire Pinks. Germ Lattice just ended the program with a new record of theirs, 10-inch EP called Corpusti, from which we heard Polycult. We heard The White Noise doing Black Mass, An Electrical Storm in Hell from An Electric Storm, 1969, Delia Derbyshire, David Vorhaus, BBC Electrophonica, Studios. Human Hair before that, duo from Richard Hoffman and the dude from Decimus. Put it away. What's his name? You know his name. Soft Bed was the name of the track from their self-titled record. And we heard Bizimungu Diodone, accompanied by Kagabumbage Alexandra. No, I think she was singing. Bizimungu was playing the guitar, and Kagabumbage was singing Imbabazi Twizi from Inzovu Yimirindi. New on Mississippi Records. Can't tell you much about that now because I gotta go. Fox at the top of the set with Butterfly from For Fox's Sake. My name's Scott. I look forward to seeing you next week, friends, right here on Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Bye bye. Mark's next. Here's Tectonic.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the next hour. So happy that you have joined me today. I've got a timely and I would say rather urgently important topic to cover. This is, in a way, it's breaking news. This is a developing story, one of the biggest stories in tech right now. And the way I would summarize it is that on Twitter, also known as X, which is Elon Musk's social media platform. A chatbot called Grok, which is also owned by Elon Musk, is allowing users to create sexualized images of women and of children. These are publicly available images. So today I'm going to be speaking with tech reporter Laura Kolodny, who has been covering this story for CNBC. And I have to say, on Tectonic over the years, I have often been surprised at how low the big tech platforms can go. In fact, I had a recent episode called something like that, How Low Can They Go? And here in this case, Elon Musk has enabled yet a new level of depravity, turning Twitter into essentially a generator of deepfake porn, including that of children. And since Laura and I spoke a few days ago, there have been some new developments. So after the interview, I'm gonna give you some updates on what's been going on. We also cover some resources during the conversation, and if you're interested, they're on the episode page. So there's links to Laura's work and to some of the organizations out there working to protect kids from online sexual exploitation. You can find all these resources at tectonic.fm. That's T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. And find the episode page for the Laura Kolodny episode. Why don't we go ahead now and listen to my interview with Laura here on Tectonic. Laura Kolodny, welcome to Tectonic.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to talk about your story from January 2nd, 2026 for CNBC called Musk's XAI Faces Backlash After Grok Generates Sexualized Images of Children on X. This is an important story, both given the influence of X, also known as Twitter, and of course, the influence that Elon Musk himself has globally. So let's just step through this to understand what's happening. There are images being generated by Grok on Twitter slash X. Maybe we could start with this. Just remind us, what is Grok and what is it doing on Twitter?
Okay, so for a lot of people who aren't familiar with the trajectory, Elon did this leveraged buyout of Twitter and turned it into X, and then merged his artificial intelligence startup XAI with X. So X, formerly Twitter, is now owned and operated by XAI. Part of the kind of convergence of these two businesses of his was the deep integration of this chatbot, this AI chatbot that was meant to be like a cheeky, politically incorrect competitor to OpenAI's wildly successful ChatGPT. It was launched initially in 2023, and they've been packing in features and changing the underlying models behind it and so on. First came, you know, a subscription version of Grok, and then you could create images with Grok, not just chat with it and prompt it for text responses. And then the latest development, which has really enabled this widespread generation of non-consensual intimate images, child sexual abuse images, violent images, and so forth, which are really disturbing, has been a set of features known as Grok Imagine that allow text to image conversion and text prompts to basically edit or enhance photos. And so you'll see people abusing that feature all over Twitter by sending these prompts to Grok, like put her in a bathing suit, or I won't enumerate the other abuses of that system.
Okay, so Grok is now responding to user requests in public threads on X. I hate saying X. I wish I could say Twitter. I hate the name X, but I'll just say Twitter slash X. So I think we have to talk about two categories of exploitation, one of adult women and the other of kids. Let's start with women. Here's an example of what's happening on Twitter slash X. This has been reported, and as you alluded to, there are different varieties of this, but it basically goes like this. A woman or maybe her colleague or friend or partner posts a photo of the woman on Twitter. It could be a vacation photo, maybe she's sitting in a restaurant, or maybe it's a photo from work. So that goes up on Twitter. Users then on Twitter can use a feature called Edit Image to then ask Grok, this AI bot that's, as you said, embedded in Twitter, to display a new version of that photograph showing the woman in various states of undress or maybe nude. And then that image gets posted onto the original thread. So a woman who posts a vacation photo on Twitter might immediately see non-consensual porn deepfakes of her showing up under her photo in her own account on her thread available publicly. Did I get all that right?
You did. And, you know, a lot of people became aware of this kind of exploitative and abusive content by looking at the Grok account on Twitter and going to the media tab and just seeing all of these images lined up in tiles. And it's in replies and it's widely visible. You know, I will say that the child exploitation materials are some of the most alarming, obviously. Then there's the exploitation of mostly women, but anyone can be subject to this kind of thing. And men are also subject to it, but it is disproportionately affecting women and minorities who are online and who will be attacked by bad actors, you know, because this tool lets them do that. Other AI companies that have image generators and image editors, you will find when you log in to do something like, you'll ask Google Flow, their, you know, video clip editor, to do something with a photo of young people, even if it's your own photo, and they have age detection that basically says, hey, you know, like our safeguards don't allow you to do that to this kind of photo. I've interviewed experts in the trust and safety field and research and who work tightly with law enforcement to prevent the spread of this kind of thing. And they've all universally said that this is like an entry level safeguard thing that XAI just skipped with these Grok releases.
Okay, so this is a longstanding concern of law enforcement, as it should be. CSAM, is that how they pronounce the acronym? Child Sexual Abuse Material, right? And so law enforcement, sometimes in partnership with big tech companies to try to cut down on the spread, the generation and spread of CSAM. But then you have now what's happening on Twitter/X with this Grok thing. People can go into that same feature called Edit Image and ask Grok to generate, well, you used the phrase before, I just learned this, NCII, non-consensual intimate images of children. And that then gets posted publicly as well, just like the images of women, right?
NCII is sometimes more casually referred to as revenge porn, and that term usually refers to adults, and CSAM is the child exploitative, you know, imagery. And those are two industry terms, CSAM and NCII. There are relatively new laws around the world that deal with this, some state laws and federal laws, including the federal level Take It Down Act, would deal with the NCII. Revenge porn, and platform's responsibility is to take it down within 48 hours of being notified. You know, I didn't give permission for this. Some of this is novel because it's AI generated, right? So there's not a lot of like legal precedent for dealing with these, you know, deep fake porn or revenge porn that's been AI generated and with AI generated CSAM. It's of greater legal concern when the images depict real children or real adults, rather than create like some fictional, you know, explicit imagery. But that's what we're seeing because this technology can be prompted to generate images that are based on real photos.
Let's talk about CSAM and the exploitation of kids. This is a new level. I would call this a new low for Elon Musk and his empire. Not long ago on Tectonic, I covered an audio version of this. This was a story out of Toronto where a mother who's also a journalist was driving her Tesla. And unfortunately, Teslas, being Elon Musk vehicles, also now have Grok installed. And this Toronto mom heard Grok ask one of her kids to send it nude photos. And that was about a month ago. And I was sufficiently horrified and outraged to play the audio. I thought, this has to be amplified. And so I played it on Tectonic. Here we are a month later. And now, far from curbing the problem, Musk's empire is now generating CSAM images of kids. How is that possible?
I know. It took X Safety days and days to respond to users and reporters and other researchers who wanted answers about this. And on January 3rd, they said, you know, something along the lines of users will be treated as if they uploaded illegal content if they do this with Grok. And you can tell that the company is leaning on protections under Section 230 that protect platforms from legal liability for the actions of bad actors who are exploiting their tools and platforms that they provide. But there is a lot to be debated about whether and how much liability X Corp, you know, XAI, the parent company of X, formerly Twitter, now holds. There is an organization that does sort of like, they were known for plagiarism detection using machine learning and AI. They're called CopyLeaks. And they've been tracking, you know, a number of these prompts that lead to sexualized images of kids being generated on X via Grok. And those terms were things like put her in a bikini, micro bikini, put her in a thong, put her in saran wrap. It's just, you can't imagine the deranged users who would want to do this kind of thing. But the question is, why didn't XAI put the guardrails in place that other AI companies have known about and been using all this time, right? So that's we have yet to see what kind of litigation or probes, investigations, formal investigations may emerge in different states and with the federal government here. But when you ask how it's possible because the company simply did not put in guardrails in their software that would tell a user who attempted one of these prompts, no, sorry, we can't do that because it might generate explicit, unwanted, harmful content. There is a lot of incredible detection the LLMs can do to prevent this kind of stuff. It's blocking the app from generating that kind of output. And it's also doing things like age detection, you know, of the subject matter in the photos. So no, we don't allow that kind of editing of a photo with a minor. The how it's possible literally comes down to because they didn't put in the guardrails.
You mentioned Section 230. That was part of the Communications Decency Act of 1996, which I guess made some sense back in the early, early days of the web when the companies that were doing business online were mostly just hosts, almost like the phone company, and they didn't want to be held liable for, you know, a nasty email or bulletin board post that some user out there had posted that was beyond their control. These days, however, it's clear that Section 230 needs to change. There's debate whether it needs to be modified or stricken altogether. I'm not an expert on that, but I agree with you, Laura, that the current situation is untenable. We have this Section 230, which is a liability shield for a company like XAI. And what it seems like is that, to me, it's not that XAI is this neutral host and there's some random bad actors out there posting something on the margins. They have actually installed a button that's basically the generate child porn button on every post and every Twitter thread. And they're, I guess, acting surprised that people would actually click the button. Obviously, they put their thumbs on the scale. They have enabled this bad behavior. They have encouraged the bad behavior. And it doesn't seem like that should be legal.
Ron Wyden, who had been involved in drafting the bill, Section 230, said on social media in response to, you know, a lot of coverage of this XAI Grok situation that he wrote Section 230 to protect user speech, not a company's own speech. And he believes that AI chatbot outputs are not protected by 230. And it's not even a close call in his view. So he's calling on states to step in and hold Musk and XAI and X accountable. And we have yet to see what formal regulatory enforcement action might be taken, if any, or investigations in the states. like I said, foreign governments have responded much more swiftly with demands for information, formal investigations, and so on. I don't know. I'm not a policy expert, an attorney or a politician, and I don't know what, if anything, needs to change in the law. I just know that it seems like XAI is, you know, standing by this idea that as the platform, it's not responsible for each user instance, right? But that's going to be debated for many moons to come.
You write in your story for CNBC that there was one response you got from the company when you reached out. This is a response from XAI. And interestingly, it seems to have been the exact same response that the journalist in Toronto got when she reached out to XAI about Grok asking her kids for nudes. It was a three-word response. What was that?
Yeah, so Elon Musk's companies will take a very hostile approach to investigative reporters and our queries, and they often send auto-generated replies. This one was something along the lines of mainstream media lies, which it's preposterous. We are giving them a chance to say how they're problem solving, and they send us an auto-generated response. When I was covering the Twitter buyout, there was a moment after Elon took over the company where they were sending out poop emojis in response to earnest queries like, hey, what's going on? We heard this. We learned this. We have these records. We plan to run a story. Love to include your perspective. It's this unnecessary hostility towards people that are interested in these issues and trying to present a robust picture about the that includes how the company is dealing with it.
And we're back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'm your host. We're in the middle of my interview with Laura Kolodny, tech reporter from CNBC, who has been reporting on one of the biggest tech stories in the world right now, which is that Elon Musk's Twitter/X has a new feature from Elon Musk's Grok AI chatbot that allows users to create sexualized images based on photos of real people. And that's women and children. And yes, it can apply to men too, but in practice, it's mostly women and children. Very disturbing, and I think very important for us to know what's happening. If you'd like links to the stories and the resources that Laura brings up in the second half of the interview, find them on the Tectonic website, which is tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm. And you're going to want to click the link for the Laura Kolodny episode. Let's go ahead now and listen to the second half of my interview with Laura Kolodny here on Tectonic. So we have a well-reported, urgent problem, thanks to you and other journalists, highlighting what is happening on X and Twitter. We have some initial response from U.S. lawmakers, regulators. As you said, there's some responses, maybe a little more forceful so far from foreign governments and regulators. And it sounds like so far there has been just about zero response from Musk and his team. Is there anything else, any other signals from the company about what they might be working on to fix this, or if indeed they have any intention of addressing the issue?
So we mentioned in that first story that an XAI employee had posted, you know, in response to a concerned follower, you know, we're considering tightening the guardrails. And then several days later, X Safety put out a statement saying, like, we're going to deal with users who use Grok to generate illegal content. Please look at our terms of service. And, you know, I've done some follow-up reporting since that initial story in the around the new year when consumers were seeing just a proliferation of this content. We're so concerned, and we dived into it. And the follow-up was about how you've got Malaysia, India, France, the European Union. You've got a politician in Brazil and others calling for formal probes or initiating formal investigations, making demands of XAI. And when I've reached out to the Federal Trade Commission, they declined to comment. And when I reached out to the DOJ, they just, you know, they gave us a statement, but they didn't say anything specific about how they're working with XAI, if they are at all. And XAI supplies, you know, they're a defense contractor in that the Department of War has a contract with XAI to provide, you know, some AI products for use by the military. A DOJ spokesperson told CNBC this week in an emailed statement that they take AI-generated child sex abuse material extremely seriously and will prosecute any producer or possessor of CSAM. And they said they continue to explore ways to optimize enforcement in this space to protect kids and hold individuals accountable who are exploiting technology to harm vulnerable people. But again, they didn't say anything specific about complaints they received about XAI or any formal action they might be taking or outreach to Musk and so on. So this is a big to be determined. I mean, you can understand in one sense how regulators won't always reveal what they're looking into right in the moment, but also Musk has this incredibly close relationship with President Trump. He was leading Trump's initiative to slash the federal workforce and reduce federal spending on certain things that were disfavored. You would think, though, that this administration would be very eager to do something here because Melania Trump, the first lady, she endorsed something called the Take It Down Act, you know, that was supposed to deal with victims of this kind of thing so that they could have non-consensual intimate images taken down quickly, which doesn't remove all of the harm from these kind of things happening, but it's a starting point. But yeah, it's kind of in limbo right now how the U.S. government will deal with this, if they will at all.
You mentioned in the CNBC story that the Department of Defense added Grok to its AI agents platform last month. And as you just pointed out, the current occupant decided to change the name to Department of War, which is why I call it the Department of Defense. But I just find it amusing that the statement out of that department comes out and says, we are going to crack down on whoever is producing all these images. And the image that comes to mind is that meme of the guy in the hot dog suit. The caption is something like, mm-hmm. We're all looking for who's responsible for this.
Yeah.
Meaning it's pretty obvious who needs to be prosecuted and who's producing the images.
The legal question of liability is, like I said, it's emerging. There's not a lot of precedence. And I'm just surprised that XAI went ahead without these like known, pretty easy to implement, it sounds like, basic guardrails. I mean, there are complexities beyond that, but there was reporting in, there was an excellent Rolling Stone feature about how when Grok began to feature these image editing and clip generating capabilities, they were immediately used for, you know, deepfake porn. And that was in the summer, you know, and so it's not like this was unpredictable, right? It was known. And also it's affecting women and minorities primarily, but it's also, you know, affecting public figures, including the mother of this right-wing influencer named Ashley St. Clair, who's the mother of one of Musk's children. They share a kid together. And, you know, she's spoken out about how her images are being exploited in this manner. But then additionally, there are images of, you know, Taylor Swift and Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain and like pick a celebrity. I mean, it's all over. And some of them are, you know, images of celebrities when they were kids, like Elle Fanning. Then you have right of publicity issues too. I think this is going to prove burdensome for XAI in court, which, I mean, that's the least concern, right? You're more worried about the harms to people and societal harms, but I do think there will be a lot of litigation if I had to predict.
And then reported just this week about XAI is that it just raised $20 billion in funding. So I just wonder, given the amount of money that's sloshing around in this mania for AI investments, how much chance there is for any meaningful regulation, let alone prosecution, of this criminal behavior The other thing I wanted to bring up is that you have been reporting on some of these issues for some time now, and in some cases for years. You have a story on NBC News from December 2022 called Elon Musk Says He Can Stop Child Exploitation on Twitter. So far, he's axed Jobs and pushed out watchdogs. So that story was from over 2 years ago. What I take from that is that this issue of child exploitation on Elon Musk's services is not a new problem.
Right. And it predates Elon's ownership of Twitter. This was always very challenging on social platforms. And Twitter, you know, there was litigation against Twitter for child exploitative material and the way the platform is used and abused by these predators. But even before Elon took over, but Elon made these grand promises that he was going to get it under control, right? And he actually did not. He removed trust and safety employees. He cut off the researchers' access to API data, has been hostile towards some watchdogs, barely ever reports anything, if ever, to NCMEC, which is an authority that tracks child exploitation online and works with law enforcement to stop it and to help children and families that are going through it. There is an organization called NCOSI, the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, that I interviewed their head of legal, Danny Pinter, about what's going on. And she called for the FTC and DOJ to investigate, you know, in correspondence with CNBC. But she also pointed out that Elon's been promising to deal with this, and yet these habits continue. Not from her, but I also recall in 2023, there was a big controversy around Twitter because a right-wing influencer who uses the handle Dom Luker had posted exploitative materials that came from some investigation somewhere overseas. And he just put the photos right on Twitter, just horrifying, like, you know, of what these kids were going through. And his account was suspended, right? Everybody reported it, like, you shouldn't be sharing this. And his account was suspended. And Elon, like, stood up for him and said, we've removed the offending post, but we're reinstating his account. Popular right-wing influencer, right? And now Dom Luker has 1.6 million listed followers on X and has an account that's monetized so he can make money there. That's how Elon has also dealt with some of this stuff. He might express care and an interest in dealing with it on one front, but elsewhere, his actions speak otherwise.
And meantime, as we speak, Laura, according to research from a few days ago, Grok is generating about one non-consensual sexualized image per minute. And maybe that has even risen as this problem has proliferated. So it's a terrible problem that does not seem to have any fix in the short term. Based on your experience covering this issue now for over 3 years, what are the signals from the regulatory environment as you're seeing it that indicate whether this is going to be fixed in the medium and long term?
What you hear from lawmakers is they don't want to stymie innovation, right? They don't want to regulate too hastily. Then it's hard to unring the bell. Then it's hard to hold companies accountable. We've seen this on every front in technology, from social media to robo-taxis to AI image generation. By the way, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that it's not just the sexualized imagery. It's also very violent imagery. And you will see minorities portrayed with, you know, racist hate symbols or so on. In like a Holocaust survivor who recently died and had been a great advocate for the memory of the Holocaust and tolerance as well. Grok users are taking images from her obituary and dressing her in a bikini with swastikas on it. This is just one of a myriad. And there are, you know, I have to give credit to Cora Harrington, this fashion historian. She is a Black woman in fashion who has a very popular blog about the history of like lingerie and other fashion. And she raised this issue about how Grok was being used widely. And that was around the 30th of December 30th, 2025. These voices are often overlooked or set aside after they initially raise the alarm. But these are courageous people speaking out about all this kind of thing. And it's not just sexualized imagery. I just wanted to be sure to address that, because I do think there's clearer regulation about CSAM than some of this other stuff. But in other countries, like Germany in particular, has hate speech regulations. I think that will also be a point of focus in the European investigations.
Right. And I remember back in July of 2025, Grok was found to be making anti-Semitic posts and very famously came out and identified itself as Mecca Hitler, whatever that was.
Yeah. Memorable, you know, milestones for the politically incorrect chatbot, but it's like horrible, right? Yeah. Nobody wants that kind of milestone. Like, how come this company has this kind of trouble? You know, it sort of reflects its creator's willingness to be relaxed about all this stuff.
Relaxed is a very charitable way of putting it. Laura, I'm going to put a link to your CNBC story on the playlist today. And for listeners, you can find that at tectonic.fm, T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. You also are active on Blue Sky, so I'll put a link to your Blue Sky account so people can follow you there. Who else or what else should we be reading to keep in touch with what's happening on this issue?
I mean, I would obviously plug my colleagues. They're brilliant. But Annie Palmer, who covers Amazon for CNBC, writes about AI's effect in e-commerce and how people are making money and getting ripped off by these automated technologies. She had a great story the other day about how independent boutiques were seeing their shop content like hoovered up in an Amazon AI. Like, it's just, it's everywhere. I am very, very grateful to researchers who deal with the exploitation issues that like Heat Initiative and Cozy, which I mentioned, Nick Mack. There's the Oxford Institute, formerly the Stanford Internet Observatory. We interviewed David Thiel, and we've previously interviewed Renee DiResta on these things. You can follow on sites that are transparency sort of initiatives for legal filings. You can set up alerts on sites like Plainsight or Court Listener and follow major cases. I focus on the Muskland empire, if you will. So I think it's really wild that Grok is integrated into Tesla infotainment. Like, for what purpose? The idea that you need an AI chatbot specifically in your car's touchscreen is kind of funny to me. And XAI is a big customer of Tesla's. They buy a lot of battery energy storage systems, you know, and Musk is starting to talk about how the Optimus robot will make a great surgeon someday. And then, ooh, Grok AI is going to help with surgery. And it's like, you could just see the convergence coming that he's hoping for.
Well, I remember recently Musk said that whether it's Optimus or some other embodied robot, he was going to have an army of these things following bad guys around the city to watch them to see if they did anything bad. And therefore, Musk said all crime would disappear because of his robots. I mean, this is a true visionary.
He does this all the time where he takes an idea from sci-fi. In fact, when they launched the Grok chatbot, the text chatbot, they said it was based on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I don't think Douglas Adams would approve of any of this. When you read and understand his writing and his values, they don't seem aligned with Grok. And Grok has also spewed a lot of climate misinformation, perhaps ironically for someone who made his money mostly touting the value of cleaner cars and energy systems, right? Renewables and energy storage. Anyway, it's a shock to the system. I really feel that we should center the people who are enduring this kind of exploitation online. And so I almost feel badly doing this interview rather than hooking you up with, but not everybody wants to talk about those traumatizing experiences. But I do encourage people to listen to their loved ones who have been through anything like this and really think about, you know, whether it's worth staying on these platforms or using these tools if this is the cost, and really reaching out to people who can help clarify everything from terms of service to what the laws should say about this. Speak up. It's time.
It's time. Laura, I really appreciate the good work that you're doing. Laura Kolodny at CNBC, thanks so much for being on Tectonic today, and let's talk again sometime.
Thank you, and thank you for reading my coverage. I really am so flattered. Appreciate it.
And we're back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'm your host. and will remain your host for the remaining while, until the bottom of the hour. We just heard my interview with Laura Kolodny, tech reporter for CNBC, who, as she said, has been covering the Elon Musk empire for several years now, and most recently wrote a very important story for CNBC called Musk's XAI Faces Backlash After Grok Generates Sexualized Images of Children on X. And as you heard in the interview, it's not just children, it's also adults, mostly women, with a focus on vulnerable communities, whether that's racial minorities or enabling anti-Semitic content. I mean, it runs the gamut. And it continues. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there have been some developments, which I'm going to go through now, but I will just give you the summary, which is, as far as I know, this behavior on X is continuing. It has not been shut down. There have been some changes, but it has not been shut down, which just for me, before I get into these updates, I just have to say, this just boggles my mind. And I know I feel like this almost every week on this show when I tell you the news. I just can't believe both what the tech oligarchs are doing, but also that they're allowed to get away with it. I mean, enabling child sexual abuse material online is a very serious crime. And X is now enabling this at scale worldwide in public, and it's still happening. I have to ask again, how is this possible? I understand technologically, Laura did a good job in answering that question. It's because they didn't put in the guardrails. But my angle here is more like, how is this even acceptable in this society? I don't understand why this company hasn't been shut down and why the CEO, Elon Musk, is not in prison. I don't understand. It's just incredible that this level of depravity continues to happen. And meantime, as Laura pointed out, the Department of Defense has just done a big deal with Elon Musk's empire, bringing Grok into their processes. I don't even know what they hope this awful chatbot is going to do for their military plans, but it can't be good. And as I pointed out, there was recently a funding round for XAI, Musk's company that runs Grok, and it just raised another $20 billion. So there's so much money and power behind this. I think I'm answering my own question, why this individual is not in prison and why his company continues to operate. But it's a sad state of affairs that this is where we are as a society, as an economy, that this behavior is running rampant, unchecked, and there still seems to be no end in sight. Let me go ahead and move on to some of the updates, because this is just too grim. Laura mentioned some of the resources, and again, I'll tell you again, and I keep repeating this because I do think this is helpful. If you want the resources, you can find them on the Tectonic website, tectonic.fm. Find the link to the Laura Kolodny show. Laura mentioned NCOSI, which is the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. That's at endsexualexploitation.org. There's NCMEC, she pointed out, which is the nation's largest and, as they say, most influential child protection organization. That one is at missingkids.org. And then finally, the HEAT Initiative, which is protecting kids from online child sexual exploitation. That's at heatinitiative.org. And there's some other resources as well. So that's the good news. As Fred Rogers used to say, when something awful happens, like this is awful, he said, look to the helpers. And there are helpers out there. There are good people and there are good organizations that are doing the work to fight back. And so you can look up those. Let me tell you what's been happening. So after this story really broke, thanks to Laura's reporting and that of others, there was a bunch of comments. I'm not reading anything on X, but I do have a Blue Sky account and a Mastodon account. And I thought Drew Harwell had a well-turned phrase, his reaction to all of this on Blue Sky from January 7, 2026. Harwell writes, X basically industrialized the creation of fake porn on women who don't consent. Others did it first, but Grok made it normalized and centralized, publicly visible, instantly creatable by anyone, regardless of who's being targeted and dehumanized. Only question now is, will X suffer any consequences? And I think that summarized it pretty well. I mean, it's a deep fake porn machine at scale, public, available to anyone and targeting anyone and everyone. And so that's the fact. And the remaining question is, what, if any, will be the consequences? So we can say that there has been outrage that's been voiced in the media and on social media. And in the New York Times on January 9, Kate Conger wrote a story called Elon Musk's AI is generating sexualized images of real people feeling outrage. And this story says that late Thursday, Mr. Musk's chatbot, Grok, limited requests for AI-generated images on X to paid subscribers of the social media site amid an outcry from victims and regulators. So let me just translate that for you. I know that I read the headline and that long quote. So let me just translate that. Amidst all of this PR backlash, and one thing the big tech companies and oligarchs don't like is a lot of bad PR. And so that got, I think, a nominal amount of minor attention from Musk. And so Musk made a slight change, which is, I assume, is still in place, which is that he restricted the access to the deepfake porn generator to the paid subscribers of X, because I guess you can pay some monthly amount to be one of the paid subscribers. And this, it just reminds me of, I covered this a few weeks ago here on the show, when it was found that I think it was 10% of Facebook's ad revenue was found to be fraudulent. Facebook made a similar change. Rather than cutting down on all of the frauds and scammers, they just raised the rates on their known scammers so that they could monetize them more. This appears to be the playbook of the oligarchs. When there's a giant PR blow up, just monetize it. Monetize it. So by restricting access to the deepfake porn generator to the paid subscribers, what do you think that's going to encourage some people to do who really want to continue to make these exploitative images? I'm sure there is going to be some conversion of some of these users to the paid subscribers. Maybe someone within X, if they would ever talk to the media, which they don't, but maybe someone would float the defense that, well, we're cutting down on these images step by step. Maybe that's true. But if it has gone down, I don't know, 10%, 20%, 50%, let's say, you still are running a deepfake porn generator on your site, and it still needs to be shut down. It doesn't matter if it's restricted only to paid subscribers. You are still exploiting kids and women and minorities. It's outrageous. So that is a non-response to limit it to paid subscribers. There was a response from Democratic senators in the U.S. Senate. And this is a story by Laura Kolodny in CNBC on January 9. Kolodny writes, in an open letter to Apple CEO Tim Cook and Google CEO Sundar Pichai on Friday, Senators Ron Wyden of Oregon, Ed Markey of Massachusetts, and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico said that Apple and Google should immediately remove the X and Grok apps from their app stores until the company's CEO, Elon Musk, addresses these disturbing and likely illegal activities. All right, well, that's a step to demand that Apple and Google take down the deepfake porn generator from their app stores. I would hope that there is some clause in the terms of service about generating child porn that they don't allow. I would hope that Apple and Google have some restriction on that practice. But as I said, that's several days ago. Have we heard anything from Apple and Google that they've taken down Grok or X, the apps from their app stores? I haven't heard anything. This is a duopoly. It's a big tech duopoly. You can get your apps from any app store you want, as long as it's from Apple or Google. Those are your choices. What a plethora of choices we have in this market. And these two companies have shown themselves again and again not to have a shred of ethics. And so days into this, Apple and Google still have not taken down either one of those apps, regardless of, despite the urgent request on the part of three U.S. senators. They don't care. What are you going to do? We're $2 trillion companies. Go away is basically their message. You want us to start paying attention to something ethical at this point? Who are you kidding? We're here for growth at any cost. And if it means exploiting kids and women and minorities, we are going to do it. We are going to work with Elon Musk to continue to squeeze one more dollar out of this economy, to continue exploiting anyone and everyone we can. Get bent, senators. That's basically the response from Cook and Pichai. And frankly, I would expect nothing else from those two gentlemen. Elon Musk, for his part, had his own official response. Amazing. There was an official response that wasn't simply a poop emoji or the phrase legacy media lies, which he said to media sources when the Toronto mom and journalist reached out and tried to find out why Grok was asking her 12-year-old for nude photos. I covered that in a show a few weeks ago, and that link also is on the episode page for today's show. Anyway, on January 9, 2026, Elon Musk went to his own account on Twitter/X, and he wrote the following. Now, let me just give you the context. The context is you have media sources, some number of users on social media, and you have three U.S. senators all coming together to say, stop this. Stop it. Stop it. And here's what Elon Musk wrote. He wrote, quote, the real reason is that they hate free speech. Yeah, that was the exact quote from Elon Musk. The real reason is that they hate free speech. In other words, Musk is saying, everyone is pushing back on my deepfake porn generator that's exploiting kids and women. I feel like I'm being censored. It's censorship. I should have free speech. I should be able to enable whatever image generation I want. It doesn't matter who's exploited or harmed or traumatized. I get to do whatever I want. And if you don't like it, you hate free speech. What a brainless defense that is. But again, how could we expect anything else from Elon Musk, from the person who enabled this behavior in the first place? And as I spoke with Laura Kolodny, there is a track record of years of him enabling tolerating this behavior on his service and even cutting back on the guardrails and the safety teams that could have done at least a little bit to address the issue. He has been very consistent over the years. So there has been one, or I'll call this two. There have been two meaningful responses to this new kind of exploitation on Twitter. And there is a story in the New York Times on January 11, 2026, and the headline says it. Malaysia and Indonesia block access to Grok because of sexually explicit content. And friends, let me tell you, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You turn off access to the deepfake porn generator. You don't merely send a strongly worded letter. You don't merely ask Elon Musk to stop what he's doing. You just turn off access. The story says, Indonesia, this is the country of Indonesia, announced that it was temporarily blocking the chatbot from XAI. And the Malaysian government made a similar announcement, both over that weekend, while officials elsewhere have expressed concern and called for bans over the images, Indonesia and Malaysia are the first countries to formally ban the application. And friends, that's what I'd like to see more of. Just ban it. Just turn it off. I don't expect the U.S. government to take that step anytime soon, given that we have our own Department of Defense that is actually increasing its partnership with Elon Musk's empire. Far from trying to extract itself, it seems to be getting more deeply enmeshed in this toxic platform. But at least there are two countries out there. So thank you, congratulations, kudo, good job to Malaysia and Indonesia for leading the world in the correct response to the deepfake porn generator, also known as Twitter/X. There are also some other resources. Again, you can find them all at tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm. I just have a couple of minutes left, and I just want to leave you with one final thought, friends. And that is, I want you to compare what's happening here to the promise about AI that we have heard for the last several years in this AI bubble. We've heard from the tech bros, let's see, that AI is going to cure disease, that AI is going to solve climate change, that AI is going to make us all wealthy, that AI is going to transform employment and entertainment, that AI is going to make us all more productive. I could go on, but I have heard all of those promises from the tech bros. Now, compare that to what we have been talking about for the past hour. There's this quote by Stafford Beers. It comes up a lot when people are talking about systems. And I like this a lot because it's just very realistic. Stafford Beers wrote a while back that the purpose of a system is what the system does. The purpose of a system is what the system does. Now, if you ask tech bros, what is the purpose of this AI build out? They'll say, well, the purpose is we're going to make everything better. We're going to solve climate change and so on. And I have to, as respectfully as I can, I have to differ with that because that is not what the system is doing. Okay, the system is not solving climate change. The system, what it is what it's doing, and that is creating deep fake porn images. It is ruining things. It is exploiting people. The purpose of the AI build-out that we have spent our treasure, trillions of dollars building this out, has left us here. Ask yourself, are we one step closer to solving climate change and improving society, or have we taken 18 giant steps back? Wherever you think we are, that is the state of this system. That is the identity, the purpose of this system is what it's doing and what it's doing to all of us. And that's all the time I have, friends. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County, 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Dave Mandel. Until next time, friends, I want you to avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, friends, get off Google. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition, another installment of It's Complicated, an hour of Prague and Prague-adjacent music with your host, that's me, Dave Mandel. I'm here every Monday at this time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, bringing you this show. And I'm thrilled, as always, to be here tonight. Lots of good music for you and me, as usual, tonight. And we're going to start with something I haven't played in a while, and I have an excuse to play it tonight. I'm going to play something from a group known as Absolute Elsewhere, not known as, that's their name, Absolute Elsewhere. They released only one LP and maybe a single. And the LP is kind of a well-known, sort of a legendary Prague curiosity, Prague rock curiosity. And the reason, and probably the only reason that anyone ever took notice of it, was that Bill Bruford plays drums on it. Bill Bruford, of course, one of the great Prague figures, actually the composer of the tune that opens this show every week. Bill Bruford plays on this record, and it's always kind of puzzled me. If I ever interview Mr. Bruford, which I may one day, I have to remember to ask him what the heck is the deal with this record. Like, it's just an oddball, more or less a one-off thing put together by one guy. Of course, his name escapes me. Fishman, is that his name? Fishman? Last name? Anyway, the group is called Absolute Elsewhere, and again, Bill Bruford plays drums on it. I always kind of suspect that he just like needed money or something. I don't know, hard to believe, but I can't think of any other explanation, because it's just a weird, middle of nowhere album. Anyway, why am I playing it tonight? Well, I'll tell you. Absolute Elsewhere is the band. The album is called In Search of Ancient Gods, and that's a reference. Those of you older folks in the audience will probably recognize it's a reference to Chariots of the Gods. Chariots of the Gods was a book written by a guy named Erich von Däniken in the early 70s, like 1970, 71 or something. And very briefly, he put forward the theory that astronauts visited Earth back, in ancient times, a few thousand years ago. And in fact, the pyramids and all these things that we always thought were built by people, earthlings, 2,000-3,000 years ago, were actually built by astronauts who came, visited Earth and lent their superior knowledge and technology to earthlings and built all this stuff. It was a really, really fascinating theory. And he had all these cave drawings and things. And if you squinted, this looks kind of like an astronaut, and you could see cave drawings with depictions of spaceships and stuff. It was amazing. And the book was really, really, really big. It was a tremendous bestseller. And I think von Däniken did at least one, probably more than one, follow-up, spin-off, probably did TV specials. I mean, it was just really big. Everyone was completely captivated by this thing. It turns out, so how does the story end? It turns out the whole thing was a complete scam. It's really incredible. He just made the whole thing up. And not only that, but it turns out he just died, by the way. Why is this even an issue? Why am I even talking about this? Von Däniken died just a couple of days ago. That's why he's been in the news. And reading more about, I haven't thought about this guy in ages. Reading more about him in the last few days, people are saying that he was some kind of weird racist, and there was this bizarre kind of racist stuff built into his. Story about these astronauts and stuff. So it's just a really odd guy, a really odd episode in in modern American history. This scam was massively big. So everyone, loads and loads of people. I was very young, so I'm exempt. But loads and loads of people swallowed this thing, and we're excited by it. So one of those was this album, In Search of Ancient Gods by Absolute Elsewhere. That's the background. And we're going to hear, appropriately enough, from that album, I'm going to play a track called Chariots of the Gods. So this is Absolute Elsewhere with Bill Bruford on drums.
Yeah.